Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning on this very special occasion as we celebrate 90 years in this beautiful sanctuary. It's a pleasure to see each of you here this morning and to see so many visitors. We especially want to welcome those that are visiting with us this morning. If you're a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street and that you will give us your address and your phone number as we pass the attendance pads down the pew. That will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Bring to your attention that we do have still available copies of the history of Main Street United Methodist Church written by Reverend Harry Mays, and also an addendum to that history, both of which are available at the various exits from the sanctuary. They are free, so if you do not have a copy of the history or if you do not yet have a copy of the addendum to the history, please pick those up on your way out this morning. United Methodist men will be meeting this Tuesday night at 5:30 for dinner and a program. The program will be presented by Dr. Steve Skinner. It will be genetics, old and new, so men of the church, please make reservations for that by contacting the church office and letting them know that you will be attending that. Also, our Wednesday night gathering series continues this Wednesday night with the meal at 5:15, the program at 6 o'clock. The alternate program this week will be presented by Dr. Mark Robards and Dr. Lincoln McGinnis. It will be a program entitled, How to Talk to Your Doctor. So again, if you plan to attend for the meal, make reservations by using one of the reservation cards in the pew rack or contact the church office to let them know that you will be attending. Also, we will have our charge conference tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. So please make plans to attend that here in the sanctuary. That's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand.
The Lord our God is not many gods, but one. The Lord our God is not many gods, but one. The Lord our God is not many gods, but one. From morning silver dew until evening silent fall, the Lord our God is one. We come here as many, yet we become one. Let us worship God, the Lord, with one jubilant voice.
let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. And I'm honored to invite forward Brett Dominick, Greenwood County Council representative, for a proclamation of our 150th year here. And today we celebrate our 90th year in this sanctuary as a place of worship. Rudy Powell, I'll ask to come forward representing our laity, for the church is the laity. And I'll ask our district superintendent, Mary Teasley, if she is here, to come forward representing the district. I did not see her, then I will represent the district.
Thank you, Reverend Dennis. Good morning, and what a wonderful, beautiful day it is to be here in God's house. What a beautiful fall day, November Christ Day, that we're here worshiping God. And on behalf of Greenwood County Council, as one of the representatives of Greenwood County, it is indeed my privilege to be here with you this morning. We're so glad of what is taking place at Main Street United Methodist Church. Greenwood has benefited greatly from the many years that Main Street has been here. And this, on your anniversary, 150 years, we, the citizens of Greenwood County, would like to present to Main Street United Methodist Church a proclamation. And this time, I'm going to read this proclamation. A proclamation honoring Greenwood Methodist Church for 150 years of ministerial service to the citizens of Greenwood County. Whereas Main Street United Methodist Church was first called Greenwood Methodist Church and was organized in 1858 by 7 women and 3 men. Mrs. L.D. Merriam, Mrs. Eliza Turpin, Miss Anna Turpin, Mrs. Elizabeth Bird, Mrs. R.H. Mounts, Mrs. Milton Osborne, Mrs. Mary D. Bailey, L.D. Meridian, R.A. Bailey, and Milton Osborne. They first worshiped in a building used as Fuller Institute for Girls, located on Broadway, now known as Cambridge Avenue. And whereas on November the 23rd, 1891, the cornerstone was laid for the second place of worship located at the corner of North Main Street. Whereas on Sunday, March 11th, 1906, by vote of the congregation, the church was named Main Street Methodist Church. Whereas in August 1914, a building committee was organized to plan a larger facility for the growing congregation, and the sanctuary was torn down and a new sanctuary was built on the same property and occupied on November the 16th, 1918, with a membership totaling 725. Whereas in 1968, 3 denominations merged and the name was changed to Main Street United Methodist Church. And whereas from 1939 until 2005, facilities were enlarged to accommodate the growing needs of the people, such as the enlarged children's classrooms, larger youth facilities, a new fellowship hall, adult classrooms, and office space. In 2005, the Asbury Outreach Center was erected and included children's classrooms, youth gym, youth area, and a gym. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Greenwood County Council is honored to recognize Main Street United Methodist Church as they celebrate 150 years of spiritual ministry to the congregations and to the citizens of Greenwood County. Adopted and passed this the 4th day of November, 2008. Rudy, Reverend Dennis, on behalf of the citizens of Greenwood County, please accept this as our token of thank you and keep up the good work.
I will ask Rudy to place that out in the narthex for people to see as we leave today, to take a look at. And I will ask you to turn in your bulletin insert to our litany of thanksgiving and join me now. Eternal and loving God, today we give thanks to you for your goodness through all the years of worship and witness in this place, for your grace in calling us to be your people, for your love revealed to us in Christ your Son, and for your gift of the Spirit and the joy of salvation.
We give thanks to you, O God.
For those who establish this congregation by their faith and vision, for their gifts and abilities.
We give thanks to you, O God.
For all who have been members of this congregation, for those who have given freely of their time and money, for those whose wisdom guided our congregation.
We give thanks to you, O God.
For all who have preached and taught here, for all who have confessed here that Jesus is Lord, for all who today lead in worship, witness, and service.
We give thanks to you, O God.
And give us the assurance that we too belong to that great company, and that we too may find the peace that passes understanding through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Our Old Testament lesson for today comes to us from the book of Ecclesiastes, and the third chapter, the first through the 15th verses, and you will find that on page 756 in the Pew Bible. Hear now the words from the teacher. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what has been planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. We have the workers from their toil, but what gain have they? I have seen that the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with, God has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, God has put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken away from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before God. That which is already has been, that which is to be already is. And God seeks what has gone by. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Records show that 90 years ago, when the congregation first met in this building, they celebrated and gave thanks to God with the use of Psalm 84. I invite you now to turn to page 804 in your hymnal and join in the reading and singing of Psalm 84. We will begin with the sung response. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs to give thanks for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God.
O Lord of hosts, my ruler and my God, at your altars even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
As they go through the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear.
Courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and bestows favor and honor.
No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed are those who trust in you.
Testament reading for today comes from 1 Thessalonians, Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verses. Hear the words of Paul. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and let us wear for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has destined for us not wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The music at Main Street is excellent, whether it's 9 o'clock in guitars and drums or whether it's here in our choir behind me. The music at Main Street is inspiring and excellent. As we come to our prayer time, I want to lift up several names. Chip Stockman is in the hospital and doing well, but is in the hospital. Please be in prayer for Chip and his treatment. Al Connell had some surgery this past week, is feeling kind of rough, but recovering from surgery. We did have two funerals, two deaths in the past week. Miriam Garner's father and Riley Watson's husband, Clyde, passed away, was buried here Tuesday. And also Bruce Higginbotham, our number one greeter at the traditional service, his wife Lois died and was buried here yesterday. We continue to be in prayer for Sarah Hartung at the unexpected death of her mother and for all those who grieve today the loss of loved ones. Be in prayer for our charge conference tomorrow and for the new leadership which will come into place in the year to come, and for the warm project. It's a cold morning, and I want you to help pray for, and even that we find the proper houses to work on and do weatherization and small repairs on our January mission project, which is not a conference project but entirely out of Main Street. Volunteer if you can, help if you can, recommend a home to be worked on if you know of one, as long as it's not rental property. We would love to take a look at it and do what we can do. Let us now pray together. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we thank you for bringing us this far. We come midstream in a long line of believers who have struggled to love, to forgive, to live and be salt and light out of this place of worship. We thank you for your faithfulness to this congregation. We thank you for your faithfulness to each one of us as we have run dry and felt we could do no more. You have been there and given us courage and strength. Give us courage today as the present congregation of Main Street, and give us direction and energy to go and do and give in your Son's precious name. Our talents are many. Our experience and education and resources are great. You have entrusted to us so many gifts. Now give us one last thing, we pray, a strong vision of where to go next. The world around us and the people on our street need some good news. Make us your hands and heart and voice to share with them what we know of your great love and hope. Let us not shrink from who we are and what we are called to do. Give us courage to proclaim that you are in Christ, making peace by the blood of your cross. Let us proclaim clearly in our lives that Jesus' way, truth, and life guide all we do. Many serve and work in positions of authority here. Bless them, Lord. But remind us all that your church is led best when all involved seek your will by surrender and trust of your Holy Spirit. Smile with us this day, we pray, as we reflect on generations of faithful servants who made this sacred space possible. And for all the souls who answered your call and gave of themselves a time and talent and prayers and gifts, we thank you. And we thank you for the honor of standing midstream among them. Now bless those families we have mentioned who mourn as you have promised to do. And bless and bring healing, we pray, to those who are recovering from surgery and who are ill in nursing facilities. And bless us in our private prayers we lift before you only in silence in our hearts. And bless our nation in a financial crisis and in a new day of leadership. And bless the leaders of the nations of the world to be open to the influence of your Spirit and to the things that make for peace. Now, Lord, hear our private prayers as we lift them before you in silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we do pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I will invite forward now Eleanor Rice, our stewardship chairperson, and Coach Shel Dua to speak to us a moment about this year's campaign.
Good morning. I'm Eleanor Rice.
And I'm Shel Dula. We're here to share some information with you concerning the future of Main Street United Methodist Church.
What am I going to do with my money? I could buy a new dress. I don't have any that fit. I could buy a new book. What do you think I ought to do with my money?
Well,
I know what we can spend it on.
Well,
voice lessons.
Right.
Yes, voice lessons, no matter what they say. You know, neither of us can sing, and we both want to badly. That's the answer. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
Me. Well, come to think of it, I don't think we have enough money, because we're pretty bad.
Well, let's think for a minute.
Think.
I don't think this money is ours anyway.
Oh.
We need to use our money to help God's work.
Oh. I guess you're right, but how much do I need to give? Who can we ask?
Well, I have a favorite song that might give us the answer. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by.
All right, did you get the point? That's good. Well, I guess that answers that question. I should have thought of that.
You know, I can't believe I didn't get applause for my singing, too, but anyway. You know, giving to Main Street United Methodist Church is very important. God's work is all around us, but we have to do our share.
You know, Charles Dickens said it very well in his Tale of Two Cities. It's the best of times, it's the worst of times. But even in these unstable times, or I should say especially in these times, God's work must go on. If not, the devil's work will increase.
God has been faithful to us. He has brought us through 2008 by his grace. God is calling us to be a church for the future. Let's don't let him down.
Commitment Sunday is December 14th. Have your little talk with Jesus, maybe even more than once. Let's count our blessings and give accordingly. Main Street is worth it.
That is what I love about this church. We are traditional, but not stuffy. You never know what might happen in a worship service. I did not know that was going to happen. Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts.
My shepherd, my shall not want.
God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Raise your hand if you think that's a lot. That's even older than me. 150 years ago, 7 women and 3 men got together, and they were very brave. God touched them and said, "Hey, build me a church. Get some people together and worship me." Boy, were they brave. 7 women and 3 men. And they did it. They got together and said, "Hey, we're gonna get a group. We're gonna build a church." And that was a big thing to be dreaming of 150 years ago. But you know what? They prayed, they worshiped, and they did it. They did it. Can everybody stand up? Now I want everybody to look that way. From 7 women and 3 men, look what we have today. Oh, can we give each other a round of applause? Woo! And 90 years ago, they built this wonderful building that we're in now. Isn't it beautiful? Everybody can have a seat. You know what? The most important thing is that the building doesn't make the church. It gives us a place to worship. What actually makes the church? What is it, Joe? The people. The people in the church make the church. Without us, nobody would be worshiping. So, oh my goodness, thank God for those 7 women and 3 men way back when. Way back when. What a vision. And now we've grown to so many people in this wonderful building. You know what God wants us to do? You guys are very important because guess what? You're going to grow and grow and grow and keep this church going. It's up to you. It's up to all of us. That's a very important job, and God wants each of us to worship Him and to have Him in our hearts and continue this wonderful church. Can everybody give me a praise God? Praise God! All right, let's thank God for this wonderful church and the people in it. Bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for these people that are here to worship you. Thank you for those people who gave us this beginning, this church. Help us to continue your love. Amen.
Let us briefly pass the peace.
Thank you.
gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 14 through 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even that which he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. There are times when I can actually hear your prayers. And I hear, please don't let him preach long. Please don't let him preach long. I hear it. And I have already practiced the short version. If you practice listening fast, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it is a special day, and we do have lunch in the fellowship hall, so you don't have to go wait in line behind the Baptist. Please. Even if you weren't planning on staying, stay. It's barbecued chicken. You'll get plenty to eat. As I begin my message, I'll remind you that something you already know. If you do anything, you will make some mistakes. And if you try anything, you will make some mistakes. I like this funny little saying that I found. And it says, if at first you don't succeed, then skydiving is probably not the hobby for you. Now, this parable today, which is on the face of it about money, a huge amount of money, 10, 20, and 50 years of wages. That's what it's about. 10, 20, and 50 years worth of a man's wages in that day. I think after living with the parable and struggling with it and talking about it with my Wisdom of Ages group, I think that it is about trying something. Doing something. I get the impression from the fierce reaction of the master in the parable that if the servant had at least tried to do something, even if it didn't work well, things would have gone much better for him. When it comes to investing ourselves for God, we don't need to be shy. We need to try. And if it doesn't work out, at least we didn't make the absurd assumption that God will be pleased with us if we don't do anything wrong, and so we do nothing at all. It seems to me that God would be better pleased if we tried, and maybe even made a mistake and tried again. We need to learn from our mistakes, and learning from our mistakes reminds me, and my wife told me not to tell this, but I did already once today. It might as well go all the way. Learning from our mistakes reminds me of a man that I actually know from the low country of South Carolina, and his main job is that he's a veterinarian, but he is also a taxidermist. And the sign on his door reads, "Remember, either way, you get your dog back." You can learn from your mistakes. It is good to have a plan B. The one talent man was called a wicked and lazy servant. And there are a lot of people, even preachers, who say, that sounds harsh. Jesus wouldn't have said that. Let's just ignore it and not think about it anymore. But hold on. I think there is a key here that makes it make a whole lot more sense. It says at the very beginning that the master gave the money, the talents, the millions to each servant. And here's the key. According to their ability. According to their ability. The master of the parable knew what they could do. And the master only expected a reasonable response according to their known ability. Now that is reasonable by definition. He expected each to do what he knew they were capable of doing. And he gave the last servant only one talent or 1 million to invest because he knew he was the least capable. But what he did was nothing. He made no mistakes. He did nothing. He didn't try and fail. He did nothing. He was the definition of nothing ventured, nothing gained. And God wants more than people who do no wrong. God wants people who try to do right. I grow very weary of the kind of Christianity that some people subscribe to, where they have a whole list of things they do not do. I want to ask sometimes, okay, what do you do? What do you risk? What are you willing to try for God's sake? Jesus completes this thought and underlines this thought and magnifies it in the very next verses in the same chapter, Matthew 25, where he says, those who took risk, those who got involved, those who fed the hungry, gave a drink to the thirsty, and helped the stranger, and clothed the naked, and visited the sick and those in prison, he said, those folks might as well have been doing it unto me personally. I am so proud of them for stepping out and stepping up that way. They got what I've been saying. They got it and they did it and they enter into heaven in the language of that parable at Jesus' smiling invitation. He is proud that they risked and they acted and not happy at all at the others who did nothing, like our friend with the one talent today. Yes, the do-nothing servant reminds me of the old story of, of old Miss Jones. She was an elderly spinster, and I told the folks this morning that you might want to tell anybody under 21 what a spinster is. The oldest resident of the town as well, Miss Jones. And one day she died and the editor of the local paper wanted to write something about her, but he started thinking and thought that it was more and more obvious as he did his research that while Miss Jones had never done anything terribly wrong, she had actually never done very much at all. Frustrated, the editor decided, I'm going to give this story to the very next guy who walks down the hall. And the next guy who walked down the hall was the sports editor. So he gave it to the sports editor to write. And this is what he wrote. He wrote, here lie the bones of Nancy Jones. Her life held no terrors. She lived an old maid, died an old maid. No hits, no runs, no errors. This parable is telling me that it is better to at least try something than to dig a hole and put your life in it and do nothing at all. Do you think God has a right to be frustrated with us when God knows our abilities? God gave us our abilities. God knows what we are capable of doing. God gave us the ability to work and to earn and to have money and talents of the other type, abilities. And God sends people our way. People that God knows we can do something with or something for. God knows what we can and cannot do. And it seems that the master of the parable is frustrated more with the lack of effort than the lack of production. The master in the parable says, you didn't even put the money in the bank. to earn at least a little bit of interest? How hard would that have been? Instead, you dug a hole. You did not even try. God knows our ability. Just as the master here knew their abilities, and the servant could have done something. And just as the surprising judgment in the next verses is jarring to our senses, I think it jars us on purpose to let us know that as we wait upon that day when we shall meet God face to face, as we wait, God has given us time and talents and treasure and many, many opportunities sent our way. Opportunities which we are uniquely qualified and gifted to respond to. It is not good to put blinders on and pretend that we don't know that we could and should do something. It is not good to do nothing when our faith and Jesus' whole life teaches responding to the needs around us. I take comfort that in the language of the parable, even a small response would be okay. Even the smallest effort, the servant could have earned a little bit of interest in the bank. And so trying a little is better than burying it. And if you look at the next story about the judgment and the sheep and the goats, did they really do so much? No. A glass of water for the thirsty, a bit of food for the hungry, some clothing for the naked, a visit to the sick or those in prison. Folks, in that parable, in the language of that parable, heaven and hell are decided on these small things. It seems clear to me across both stories that Jesus is saying, do something. Do something right. Don't turn my teaching into a list of don't. And don't think you are following me by not doing things. I've taught you clearly. I expect you to love God and love your neighbor and love your enemy and love yourself. And I showed you by washing feet as a servant and by feeding the crowds and by visiting and healing the sick and by hanging out and redeeming the criminals, and I even gave my life for you. Did you really think I was trying to teach you a faith based on not doing? No. Love that does is what I did among you. Now you go and do, and don't bury what I know you can do. Yes, the parable is literally speaking of money on the face of it. But this can also be applied to the gifts and the skills that God has entrusted us with. If I refuse to step out in a gift or a skill that God has given me because I'm selfish or afraid or lazy, then I am behaving the same way as the steward with one talent. In Galatians 6:9 we read, let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. I know trying to do good and see no real results can tempt us just to give up. And isn't that true that many of us tend to give up too quickly? And then others just never try. But remember, Jesus was God in flesh, getting down and dirty in the creation and hands-on involved with His creation. What is it about Jesus that makes us think that we can stand back and watch passively? This warning by Amy Césaire, she writes, beware my body and my soul. Beware above all of crossing your arms and assuming the sterile attitude of a spectator. Life is not a spectacle. Jesus describes the kingdom of God. To each, something is given, whether small or great, but each is trusted and each is needed. What has God given you? And what are you doing with it? I'm asking because what part of God's plan for Greenwood or for our families or for our church's future or for our witness, what part is not happening because we are not doing what God knows we are able to do? What part of God's plan for here and now is not happening because we have rationalized and buried and hidden our talents and resources? It occurred to me that life is a whole lot like the game Monopoly. If you keep that money you get in the beginning, you're dealt, and you roll the dice and you go round and round the board and you don't buy anything, you don't invest anything, you don't take any risk, you are guaranteed to lose. You're out. You cannot possibly do well if you put nothing at risk. God gives us gifts and talents to be used in His service. And the language of the parable, in the language of this parable, this is how we give back to God with interest. And if you want the rest of the sermon, make an appointment with Emmy. I'll come to your house and give you a private presentation. Amen. Be seated. It is my honor today to receive by reaffirmation of faith Wayne and Dana Philpott, who will be our first members of the next 90 years. And so please turn to page 46 with me as you follow along as they join by reaffirmation of faith. You'll find that up beginning on page 46. Now, Wayne and Dana, do you in the presence of God and this congregation renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and to walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful members of Christ's holy church? And now, if congregation, you'll join me on page 48. Now that they've professed their Christian faith, they will be joining this congregation. I will ask, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to have you face the congregation. Brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care Wayne and Dana Philpott, whom we this day receive into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ, that surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Now for our benediction, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.